Welcome to Voices of Change, a new podcast sponsored by the Get the Medications Right Institute. Since this is our very first episode, a little information about me. My name is Katie Capps. I'm the co-founder and executive director of the Get the Medications Right Institute, and I'll be your host for this podcast. And now, a little about our sponsor. The GTMRX Institute is a not-for-profit organization focused on ensuring personalized, appropriate use of medications and gene therapies. We bring together stakeholders from across healthcare who are bound together by the urgent need to get the medications right. Our members include those who pay for care, those who deliver care, and those who receive care. Physicians, pharmacists, health IT innovators, drug and diagnostics companies, consumer groups, employers, payers, and health systems, all aligned to save lives and reduce unnecessary waste. Waste that results from our current trial and error approach to medication management. All members are focused on advocating for a personalized, person-centered, collaborative, team-based approach to medication use. The Institute intends to be a catalyst for change by driving the system-wide transformation needed to answer one simple question: is this the right medication for this person? With that, I have two of my fellow board members as guests on this episode. The first is a very dear friend, Dr. Paul Grundy. He's known as the godfather of the patient-centered medical home. And as mentioned, he's also a GTMRX Institute board member, as well as the Chief Transformation Officer at Innovacer and the founding president of the Patient Center Primary Care Collaborative. He's also currently serving as Ambassador for Healthcare for Denmark. Paul is also the subject of the number one book in healthcare on Amazon, Trusted Healers. If you haven't read it yet, you'll want to be sure to get a copy. My second guest is another longtime friend and colleague, co-founder of the Institute, Dr. Terry McInnes. Terry is president of Bluethorn, Inc., as well as co-author of an article highlighting the 275,000 lives lost and the $528 billion waste due to non-optimized drug therapy. On this podcast, she'll discuss that study. Terry's a nationally recognized expert in medication management and successful drug cost value strategies. But first up, I'd like to turn to Paul. Paul, from the perspective of an advocate for preventive medicine and for the medical home and the medical neighborhood, what's the most important reason you are actively supporting the Get the Medications Right Institute?
You know, I think one of the most important single things we can do as healers, as physicians and clinicians, is that we have tools of modern medication at our hands that can impact people's lives in a tremendously positive way. But it can also impact their lives in a tremendously negative way if it's not done right. In fact, my journey into really starting the whole patient and medical home movement and beginning the founding president of DCPCP resulted from a drug-drug interaction with one of my big bosses at IBM, which sort of raised the whole question of, you know, what are we buying as buyers of care and how are we buying it? A personalized patient-centered system and a coordinated approach to medication would just dramatically improve outcomes and reduce overall cost and improve people's lives. You know, we hear every day on the news about inappropriate medication use and the harm it does. And that's why I'm excited about the effort of getting the Medication Right Institute. It's just so needed.
So, Paul, then why is it critical that provider organizations join early and take an active role in the work of the Institute?
First of all, it's the right thing to do, right? Delivering better care. But also, it's because the payment is going to change. I mean, we're going down a road where if there's no outcome, there's no income. Increasingly, more and more of a physician's income is going to be based on how well they manage a population. Well, that's going to impact what you take home. You know, if the cat's food has been moved, you know, you need to kind of go in the direction where that movement is. I think probably the easiest thing you could do to really impact the outcomes that you're going to be given is to get the medication right. Probably the single most important thing you could do. And by the way, where this is done and done well, we see physicians that are not burnt out, that are actually happy and go home at 5. We're increasingly understanding that this is really, really a team sport. And issues around behavioral management, I mean, that's probably better done by somebody who is a behavioralist. Issues around education, oftentimes that's better done by somebody who's a nurse as a patient educator. And certainly issues around medication management and issues around medication adherence compliance, issues around the right drugs to take and how you take them and all those kinds of issues, I find in seeing the very best that that's oftentimes done by a clinical pharmacist, which really allows the clinician who's trained years and years and years for what? To understand difficult diagnostic dilemmas and sort them out. Allows him to do that and also allows time in the day in that appointment for relationship building, right? So understanding not only the patient's medical needs, but the patient's social needs and the patient as a human being and a member of that physician's panel that he cares for, right?
As founding president of the Patient Centered Primary Care Collaborative, now the PCC, can you speak to the value of using a multi-stakeholder approach to get the medications right, particularly as it relates to delivery system and practice transformation?
We know if you're going to institute real change in the Washington environment, you really need to build a broad-based coalition to drive change. And that's what we did with the PCCC a few years ago. In this whole movement, we now understand much better the need to have a team-based approach to care. And again, in order for us to really impact how this trickles down with laws, regulation, health policy, and the only way to do it is to build a broad-based coalition. I just think that we're at the right time to be able to address this, and the cost, huge cost to society if this isn't done right. It takes a broad-based coalition to impact policy, but also I think a broad-based coalition can also play a really important role in training, in articulating and spreading, you know, the word of what needs to be done to deliver better medication management, getting medication right, to engage physicians, clinicians, clinical pharmacists, and other team members to share a commitment around having the right tools to deliver better medication management, you know, to really advance acceptance and recognition by providers and payers and employers, like this is a really important thing to do. I mean, all of those things really, really require, you know, some thought. So it's really threefold, advancing acceptance and recognition, educating and training team members, and providing a base for a broad-based coalition to impact Congress, CMS, and others.
Paul, what's the one message you want physicians to know about the Get the Medications Right Institute?
It is the single most important thing you can do to impact your patient's life, to impact your patient's quality, and now to impact how you're paid. It's the one single most important thing you can do.
So now let's move to Terry. Terry, as co-founder and president of the Get the Medications Right Institute, what's the primary thing you'd like to accomplish?
Paul Grundy made the statement that medication management or effective use of medications is the issue of the decade. And my reply to that was, and I don't want it to be the issue of the next decade. So effective use of medications is something that we really need to solve for. And that's really why I'm doing this, is we realize that no single segment of the healthcare industry, whether it's providers or employers, payers, consumers, no one sector can solve this. It's going to really take that multi-stakeholder approach, very similar to what we saw with primary care and the patient-centered primary care collaborative. We want to bring together that critical mass of stakeholders to say, how do we put in a systematic approach to medication management? What do we need to do? What changes do we need to make in the delivery system? What evidence and research do we have showing what works? And then what policy and payment changes do we need to put in place to make sure that it's sustainable over time so that effective use of medications becomes the norm? It's a call to action. It's to bring those critical stakeholders together and let's say, let's make sure we get this solved. Part of that is also going to include what I believe is one of the most underused workforces in America, and that's clinical pharmacists. I think we also are going to see more use of genetic counselors. And as we've seen advances in diagnostics continue, where the testing and the medications that are in the pipeline really have the opportunity to significantly impact diseases, some of which we haven't been able to move the needle on impacting before. So we're at this critical juncture where almost the scientific knowledge, what we know about things, is not being translated quickly enough into clinical practice. That movement from population to health to precision medicine, we're on that cusp. And we can actually increase the speed of that if we all come together and say, how do we ramp that pace up?
Terry, you know, you are known for saying the practice of comprehensive medication management is only a glimpse of how we can achieve a systematic approach to medication management. It's the tip of the spear, so to speak. Can you expand on that?
I believe that comprehensive medication management really embodies that systematic approach to medication that's going to be critical for a coordinated team-based approach to care going forward. But that's the practice delivery side. There's also so many other things that have to come into that equation. And some of those things are some of the advances in diagnostics, pharmacogenomics testing, the payment and policies that will allow that to be put in place. But we have to put that in practice and we have to have those supporting elements of policy, a payment, and trained providers and systems of care to make that happen.
So from your perspective, how will advances in diagnostics and precision medicine impact how we optimize medication use today and in the future?
When you look at the current pipeline of drugs, 75% of them have either a companion or complementary diagnostic, which means these drugs are really going to be targeted therapies for various patients that have either a particular biomarker or a particular sort of genetic predisposition. So it's going to be more and more important that we understand advances in diagnostics. We've been through a cycle of clinical guidelines, and when you're looking at just oncology right now, the clinical guidelines are changing so rapidly that providers are having a very hard time keeping up. So I think that we're going to see this shift away from population health and say, hey, you're diabetic and this is the way diabetics should be treated. Here's the steps to, okay, you're diabetic, but you're also a hypertensive. You've got these types of genetic traits as we begin to do what I believe is going to be next generation whole genome sequencing. We're going to know more about you and your particular type of diabetes, your particular risk factors, and know exactly then how to target your medication needs across the spectrum of disease. And starting out preventively, it won't be just correcting drug therapy problems. It'll be more preempting. What do you need to begin with so you don't have drug therapy problems?
So Terry, knowing that we're in this time of great change and knowledge advancement, why should colleagues in medicine get involved and answer this call to action?
There's been some recent reports that have shown that a majority of physicians, over 80%, believe, for example, that pharmacogenomics testing is important. However, some of those same statistics will show you that less than 10% of providers feel very comfortable in terms of ordering the test and interpreting the test and using them. So we have those sorts of gaps. We've got to take advantage of all of the new testing coming out, whether it's therapeutic drug monitoring, whether it's various biomarkers, or there's more things that we're understanding about the microbiome and its influence is that we've got to then have the conversations to be able to say, first, what needs to be reimbursed, but secondly, and probably even more important, is an education of providers in terms of the utility of the testing and what impact that testing could have on various patient groups, you know, who to test, when to test, and what those results mean. That key is having the multiple stakeholders together, and we're going to need everybody at the table to get there.
Terry, you know we hear so much about the high cost of care. Can you address the challenges and opportunities before us today?
First, we have this need to move to value-based care. The cost of our healthcare system is way, way too expensive. We've got too many dollars, and it continues to go up. When you look at the dynamics in the system, now everybody's looking for solutions. And when you think about how 85% of the means by which we prevent and control disease is with medications, that this has to be a focal point for us in terms of really looking at how to improve healthcare. Adherence alone will not do it. Medication adherence has been sort of there, but we've missed the boat in terms of making sure that the medications were first the most indicated, effective, and safe to begin with before we jump to adherence. So I believe that we're at that critical point that we'll really be able to bring all the stakeholders, everybody's hungry for this, to the table to say, let's really make some changes bigger and get us where we need to be.
And with that, I want to say thank you to our guests, Dr. Paul Grundy and Dr. Terry McInnes. It was a pleasure speaking with both of you today. Thank you also to our listeners for tuning in to this episode of Voices of Change. To learn more about what you can do to get the medications right, please visit us at www.gtmr.org. At the Institute, we believe action changes things. So until we chat again, stay well.